I'm sorry. So it's good to be back tonight to study from His Word. You know, since Monday, we have been looking at the various calls that we must answer. We said when we say it's a must, that means that we have no latitude, we have no tolerance is given to us. It's a requirement, it's a compulsion that we answer those calls. And we did say we have all answered the first call, which is the call to life. We did say, well, we are in this life, but God did not ask our consent. We saw that we were born into so and so family. We were born in different places and all of that in Sierra Leone, in America, in Ghana, in Nigeria, all over the world. People are being born into, but just like David Flash children, they don't know what is going on around them. They just see mom and dad, they play around, eat. They don't even know because they're what? They don't know that they're in the world. But as they grow into accountability, they begin to understand, as we understand, that we are in this world. And then we are saying that however long we live in this world, it's very, very short. By the time you get to 80, 90, 100, you begin to think about answering the second call, which is death. Because death, we have about 1,000 ways to die. Age itself is a form of part of dying. And also we have a lot of diseases. You know, where we come from, our life expectancy is just 37 years. Because most people, they are sick. They cannot afford the proper medication, and then they die. And because of what? They are malnourished and all of that. They lack the necessary defense within them to fight some of these bacteria or viruses. But what we are saying here is that we all, whether we are rich, we are poor, is negated by death. We all will answer the second call sooner or later. We pray it's later when we would have got a chance. But sadly enough, I cannot give you that guarantee. Nobody can determine that tomorrow you will live tomorrow. So what we are saying here is a call that we must answer, so therefore we must be ready. And then we went on Thursday, on Wednesday, we did say that when we die, it's not the end of the story. Otherwise, what I will do in this world, I will live my life recklessly. I will do all that I want to do. And then when I die, I'm gone. But the Bible says, no, we need to be resurrected. We shall be comforted as the last trump, when the trumpet shall sound, when Jesus Christ shall descend, we shall all be raised. We shall all be raised to comfort. And then we did not say, well, it's another second chance to live life. But we did say in our fourth call, that is going to be what? A call for judgment. A judgment that we all will answer. I'm not going to stand for Mary. Mary is not going to stand for Jimmy. Jimmy is not going to stand for Sandy. No. We all, because 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer. All right? And what? Every one of us, as we have done in our body, whether it be good or bad. So it's going to be an individual thing, and it's going to be a separation. It's going to be the time, the day of reckoning of what we have done against that which is the standard to do. So tonight, we will look at the fifth and the last call. Well, I want to believe that the fifth and the last call has been answered by some people, and I hope all of us have answered to that call. Because when you look at the first four calls, sometimes you want to put your hands on your head and say, Lord, why did you bring me into this world? Just like Job said, why am I in this world? There are times life becomes so difficult. Sometimes you're sick, you just feel like, what? There is no need for you to be in here. But you see, we have answered that call. It's the most that we answered. But now, when we die, because we have lived in this world that is roughshod, marked with sin, is cursed, and then we are all prone to sin, we may have, or nobody, that's what the Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So if we have sinned, and then when we are buried after we die, all right, we are raised to stand at judgment, then man cannot help himself. Man is hopeless. Man cannot save himself. So we see that the fourth call is very, very necessary that we all must answer. That's the gospel call. The gospel call is as a result of God's interest in man. You know, when God destroyed the world, the first world, in Genesis 6 and verse 6, the Bible says that it repented God that he had made man because it was so sinful, it destroyed the world with water. But still, God had interest in man. God is not willing that any of us should perish. God is not willing that any of us should what? See damnation. So his interest is what? Even after sin entered into the world, we saw what God told the serpent. This is the beginning of the prophecy of Christ. It says, and I will pour enmity between thee and and the woman. All right, and I will, between thy seed and her seed, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we see that God is very, very interested in man, to the point that he cursed the serpent, and he told the serpent that you and this woman and her seed and your seed, will there be some serious enmity. So if we look at Psalms 8:1-9, the Bible tells us that the psalmist David said, God is too interested in man beyond his imagination. Because that's why he asked the question, why are thou manful of him? In verse chapter 8, he says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest see the enemy and the avenger. Then in verse 3 says, when I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers. Honestly, when you look at how the heaven is, do you know that the earth where we live is just like a ball, just spinning? I know that some of you have studied that. There's nothing supporting it under. There's nothing holding it up there. We are just as if everything is just normal, is resting upon something. As this is resting upon this pulpit. But God, with all of the marvelous creation, David says that all of the things which thou hast done, he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God is interested in all of us. We are his creatures. He made us a little lower than the angels. All right, but he has crowned us with glory and honor. But because of sin, because of that separation, we were what? We are allowed or we are driven from his presence. But that didn't mean that he has given up on man. He started working with the fathers, the patriarchal age. He worked with the Israel as the nation. He was only finding ways in which man can return to him. That is why the major thrust of the Bible is about God, man, and the relationship that God wants man to have with him. So every part of the Bible, my dear friends, is somehow linked either directly or indirectly to God's desire to save man from sin through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why the message of the Old Testament is that Christ, or the Messiah, is coming. Because Paul later wrote, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the old scriptures concerning his Son Jesus, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. That is in Romans 1:2-4. Brethren, if you look at the New Testament as well, it tells you that the message of the four books of the Bible, of the New Testament, is that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come, and Jesus himself pronounced this to be true when he spoke to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. You know, if you have your Bibles, I know you're quite familiar with this passage because it's one of the passages that we at the church use quite often, John 4:24. All right, that's where we always say to worship God in spirit and in truth. But it says, Jesus Christ was at this well, all right, Jacob's well, and then for some reason he was engaged in some conversation with a Samaritan woman. All right, and Jesus Christ in verse 25 and 26, after several exchanges, Jesus Christ was told by this woman. The woman said unto him, verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. But then Jesus Christ said unto her, I that speak unto you, am he. In other words, everybody was looking forward to what the Messiah has told what in prophecy, all right, of old, that God will send somebody to save the world from the sins, all of us from our sins. So upon finding Jesus, we also see that Andrew said to his brother Simeon, he said in John 1, 40 and 41, he said, we have found the Messiah, the Christ. John 1, 40 and 41. 40 says, of the two which heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Brethren, Jesus Christ had come into the world to save us from this, our precarious predicament, a sin that we cannot save ourselves from sin. We are all doomed. We are all heading towards damnation until Christ came. So John declared when ending his own gospel account in John 20, 30 and 31, he said, but these were written, all right, that they may believe, all right, that is many other miracles that he did, all right, but these were just written that people may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing ye might have life through his name. So in other words, all of these scriptures point to the fact that Jesus Christ, we cannot look for another Jesus. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Christ has come. And if that is good news for us, it's the gospel news. In Hebrews 9:28, as I've just quoted, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 to 9. The Bible says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, where the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction for the presence of the Lord and from glory of his power. So you see, God has sent Jesus Christ into the world because of his love, according to John 3 and verse 16. All right, that Christ should come and die for our sins. So if people, all right, would not obey the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, then he's going to take vengeance on them. Galatians 4 and verse 4, the Bible tells us, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son made of a woman made under the law. So at the time, there was a silent year of 400 years, silent time of 400 years, God decided to send a son, Jesus Christ, into what? The world. The Apostle Paul briefly describes the nature of the relationship we are to have with God. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Behold, now are we children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So God is not going to let any of us perish. We have been born into this world. We're going through a offshore world. We are going through a world that is marked with difficulty, a sinful world. You're prone to yielding to temptations, falling, getting up, a lot. He knows that all by ourselves we cannot make it. So he decided to bring Jesus Christ into the world. Paul tells us that God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, according to 1 Timothy 2:3-4. He said God has planned a way to make this relationship available to every human being according to his timetable. As Peter wrote, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. Our God is long-suffering. Our not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that is 2 Peter 3:9. So because of God's love, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came as a ransom for many. In Mark 10:45, the Bible says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give life as a ransom for many." So Jesus Christ had come into this world, all right, to pay the price. You know, ransom, sometimes you are kidnapped, and then the kidnappers say, "We want X amount of money," until that money is paid before you are released. So sin and what? We need a ransom to be paid for us, as we have been sold ourselves, we have sold ourselves into sin and have been alienated from the Holy God. But when Jesus gave his life as a ransom, our slave master, sin, death, and the devil had to give up their claim on us. So the Bible says Jesus Christ came as a ransom for us. And the result that we could be adopted into the family of God. That's the good news. That's the blessed news. All right? So Romans 6:17 says, "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, is servants are ye, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience of disobedience unto or obedience to righteousness." This is the situation. No man can serve two masters. You either serve God, or you serve Satan. You cannot be in here and out there, all right, at the same time. Paul said, when the time was fully come, God sent forth the Son, born of woman, to redeem those who were under the law. So as we see in the foregoing what we've discussed, that God does not desire to have any of us perish, because all by ourselves we could have been hopeless. Where can we go? That is why sometimes during funeral services, I always say to those who mourn that it would have been much worse if Jesus had not come. Because when you bury somebody who had lived his life, all through life, and then there is no hope of that person going in the presence of God who made him, who gave him the chance, because along the line we must falter, we must miss the mark. So that is why Paul was so excited. He was so pleased to declare in Romans 1:16, he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto what? Unto salvation, or to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Paul also in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, we saw what he said about the gospel. And this is all about the gospel. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye also, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye believe in vain. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Brethren, the whole picture is being drawn together now. Remember, we talked about being born into this world, and then for some reason, before we begin to understand life, before we get to 90, 100, we become senile, we become sickly to the point that we cannot, you know, a lot of diseases, like one of my brothers now, I feel for him, I pray for him daily. He's suffering from Parkinson, you understand, disease, a loss of memory. A lot we go through life. But even after that, when we are buried, we are not allowed to stay there. We shall hear that trump, we shall come forth to be arraigned before the King, Jesus Christ. But again, God said, if I should allow these people that are mindful of the human race, men, a man that are actually carved out of the ground, I gave him my breath, I made him in my image, so let them come back to me, let me make a provision for them. So he sent his son that to die for our sins, because we cannot. That is why to the elders, all right, at Miletus, when Paul called them in Acts 20, he said, take heed in verse 28. He said, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which he had made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So prices, you understand them what? A transaction. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is what more than all. So what we are saying here is that if God had allowed his son to pay the price for us, it's a call that we must answer. Many of us, we have answered that call. We have answered the first and the last, the first and the fifth. But there may be some within us or among us that have not yet answered the fifth call, though they may have answered the first call, because they are already here. They cannot change that fact. What we are saying here is that we all have to die, but we must answer to the gospel call. Paul said, I am not ashamed. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4 says, yes, Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he was raised. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. In Hebrews 2, 1 to 3, this is what frightens me when I talk to most people. I tell them that this is real. You need to answer to the gospel call. Because Hebrews 2, 1 to 3 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we let them sleep. You know, there are times we talk and we talk. People listen, and by the time the day is gone, they're forgetting everything. But the Bible says that we should not let them sleep. We should retain them. All right, because verse 2 says, for if the word spoken by the angels were steadfast, and every transgression, all right, and disobedience, all right, receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And on and on. We cannot escape if we fail to answer to the gospel call. Brethren, God is a just God. And if he's giving us his son, Jesus Christ, all right, to be paid as a ransom for our sins, then it's a must that we answer the call. Tonight, because we have one or two more, I decided to make the last day a very, very short slide so that you can ponder over all that we have said in one big picture. I am concluding now with the fact that your life is your own. For some reason, God forbid, if anybody should take your life or you should take somebody else's life, the government of America will actually bring you to book because you do not own anybody. All right, it's not like I own this, my smashes or destroys useful life. No, your life is your own. God has given you that life. All right, you are here. I always say that. It's a fact. Everybody that is alive today is in this world. It's a fact. We just cannot change that fact. And then also, death is certain. I have gone through that. Even though it seems uncertain, I don't know when I will die, but certainly you will. I will. It's a fact you and I cannot tell when, where, and how it will occur, but you and I can change the kind of death we are going to die. And after that, we'll be raised and judged according to Acts 17:30 and 31, We see the times of ignorance, God winked at, but commanded all men everywhere to repent, for he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by raising Christ from the dead. And 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, that should be 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So if we are to be judged for the things that we have done, definitely we cannot make it. But the Bible says there is a provision made by God. Just accept Christ as the Son of God. So simple. Now that you have heard his word, you have believed it, you need to repent of your sins. And then you need to confess him as the Son of God, according to Romans 10, verse 10. And you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, because you have a whole lot. I have a whole lot on my hand, on my back, before I became what? Added to the Lord's church. That is why when we baptize, in Romans 6, we reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we rise up to walk in the newness of life. All this week we have been talking that we are just going through this life all by ourselves if we fail to answer this last call. The gospel call is the most important. Because you know what? In Hebrews 10, the Bible says, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. It's one. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, we shall devour the adversaries. Brethren, our God is a consuming fire. We should know that. Verse 31 says of Hebrews 10 that it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. But we can answer to the gospel call. We're going to ask the good Lord that we are going to repent. We'll feel sorry. We're going to change our ways. We're going to make a U-turn, 360 degrees. We're going to do what we just ask us to do, because that's what the Bible is saying. Fear God and keep his commandments. But that's the whole duty of man. But we have gone astray. Now he's calling again. Jesus is calling. He's making the call that if you have not obeyed the gospel, you do it tonight, because you're not guaranteed for tomorrow. Brethren, I want to thank the elders at Brown Street for giving me this wonderful opportunity. And also my dear brother, Brother Jimmy Lee, who made me cry for a long time. I have not cried. I'm resolved to just weather any storm. But yesterday, those soft words brought tears out of my eyes. I thank you all for allowing me to stand before you. All right, for God's purpose only. So I've gone through this. My wife and I will leave tomorrow for Columbus and Dayton, and then up to West Carrollton. All right, we have about 4 or 5 presentations or sermons that we need to do before we head back. But honestly, this is the fact that we should endeavor to answer these 5 calls. That's the only time we can be safe. If you have answered the first and the last one, I'm fine. I'm happy for you. That's the glorious thing you have done. You have been part of what? The Lord's body. So he knows then that are his. But those of us who are here, who are not yet been added to the Lord's church, the 5th call, I want to say that probably you are gambling and you may likely lose. Probably by the time you are ready to be added to the Lord's church, you may not have the other opportunity. But let's heed to the gospel call and be baptized. So we will be leaving Saturday morning. It's been a pleasure, all the wonderful people. I love all of you, and I want to do this on behalf of my wife. When we get up in Sierra Leone in West Africa, the day will reach after we have slept. I may take the wrong move. I may want to say, hey, brother Don, Because when I get up, that is the first one I call. You know, for some time, I will always think about you. So, five calls we must answer. Call to life, we have answered. We'll soon answer call to death, call to a mad resurrection, call to judgment, and let's make sure that we answer the gospel call. For this is the plan of God unto salvation, so that we can all be in God's company. I want to leave some remembrance with all of you here about what we've done. You know, normally when we say hello, we raise the five, not so? Raise the five. Some people say, give me five, you know. So when I see Brother Jimmy, I'm going to raise my hand to him, give him all the five, and then Brother Jimmy should judge you like this. Five calls. Let's remind ourselves of those five calls. So when I say, Brother Steve, what should you do? No, you give me as if it's a... Oh, that lady can do it well. How do you do your phone calls? So, Brother Stotler, what should you do? The five calls. So when you do like that, you may be able to get somebody's attention. Why did you respond like this? So you have five calls to answer in this world. You can start some discussion on your evangelism like that. But I will remember, if I see anybody waving my hand, I'll know that, hey, I've answered two calls. I've been baptized. I've answered to the gospel call, and I'm here. But these three calls, I will soon answer them. I'll soon die. I'll soon be resurrected. I'll soon be judged. So some of us, we are like this, three more to go. Others are like, and what? Four more to go. Well, they are a little bit critical because the last call is very, very much important as well. So once again, make use of the time that we have. Let's answer the gospel call. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. If you are here this evening and you found yourself in a position wherein you have only answered one call, you know, as at now, it's going to be two that we are okay with. I wouldn't ask you to raise your hand for me to know whether you have not answered two calls. But the first and the last calls, you must answer them tonight if you have not done so. You may have answered one, which is a fact, you are here, but ensure that you answer it tonight, the last call. That's the gospel call. It's quite simple to do. All you need to do is walk up as we sing the song of invitation, and then you'll be led into making a confession. All right, before the congregation and before God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then you'll be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then when you rise from the watery grave of baptism, you are going to walk in the newness of life. And then you continue steadfastly, all right, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I want to assure you that your labor is not in vain if you walk in the Lord. And then when we part time for eternity, all we need to do is to just wait. We don't have a fearful indignation. We just wait, and when the trump sounds, we know that we'll be caught up in the sky to be ever with Jesus Christ. Amen. Brethren, that is what I desire for all of you, especially those who have not yet been members of the Lord's body. Will you do that now? Come forward as we sing so that you can answer the fifth call. God bless you.